welcome everyone to tonight's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. And I'm your host, Brett Cease. Tonight's topic is going to specifically drill into outreach to faith communities and focus on how to begin reaching out to your national faith headquarters, potential allies, and places of worship, given that many voices within our faith communities throughout this country and larger world are continuing to raise a clarion call and make a moral case for action on climate change. So if we've done our job well after tonight's training, you'll have the chance to really walk away with these three learning goals, really being able to highlight the important work that's already being done with in terms of outreach that our faith-based action teams are leading the charge with, really understanding why pursuing faith connections matters for your larger climate advocacy efforts, especially in your home community, and really being able to understand and review how you can get more involved in your own local congregation. Let me introduce our wonderful speakers tonight that have all given a lot of their time to make time for us to learn and educate us on their success across the board with different faith traditions in their outreach. So first up, we'll have the wonderful Bill Bray. Bill is CCL's Presbyterian Action Team leader as well as Texas Woodlands leader. And then we'll have Andy Pinelli, CCL Chicago South Suburbs group leader, talk about Catholic outreach. We'll then be joined by the wonderful Nadine Saperman and Ann Perry, the co-leads for CCL's Unitarian Universalist Action Team. And then we'll close tonight with the wonderful Judy Barrelfine and Dadla Ponazil of the CCL Jewish Action Team, along with their co-leader, Yonatan Malin. So with that, our agenda is really straightforward. I'm going to give a quick overview of what we are advising on outreach in terms of any faith-based perspective, and then we'll have a chance to really jump into the specifics for each of these following four perspectives in the Action Team leadership: Presbyterians, Catholics, Unitarians, and Jewish people of faith. And with that, let's just jump into looking at some of the common themes across faith outreach. And you can see with these icons, the main areas that we want to really encourage people to consider after tonight, if you're going to walk away with kind of this brief overview, is to begin really working with your own faith. The best rule of thumb for engaging with any faith-based group is to really work with the faith that you already know. So especially in this space, authenticity really matters. We hear that repeatedly from leaders that are engaging in this outreach. And the benefit of having a group of volunteers is that you really probably have a variety of people within it with a diversity of faith backgrounds and connections. So by engaging with the faith groups that you and your group are already familiar with, you get to speak to their values and priorities and have a greater chance of connecting with them. So again, the key is to really approach as an insider or with an insider, somebody that's already really associated with that church or synagogue or mosque, and to go together as a team. And also remembering that as a CCL member, you bring a unique role in talking to that group because of your trustworthiness in that congregation. We also want to encourage you to use our Action Team resources. You're going to hear that over and over tonight. We have wonderful leaders featured on this call across other leads as well. And for many of the faiths and world religions, it's always good to check with them for advice on how to engage and also what's already been done and get to know what groups in your local area have already been contacted. Many of them have already developed their own specific faith denomination materials, and we're going to highlight each of the different denominations' backgrounds tonight with the resources they've created. And then we also want to encourage you to check your national faith headquarters. So there's many different compendiums on statements from world religions. Yale has one of them. And, you know, as you approach your faith background, if you wanted to start a discussion about creation care, you need to study what your church's documents are already saying about it. You can easily just Google this too. You know, for example, if you come from a Southern Baptist tradition, just typing in creation care, even on any search engine, will help kind of begin to do your research. We also want to emphasize the importance of knowing who your member of Congress and the belonging they have to their faith background. There's wonderful reports out there, one from Pew itself, that show the religious affiliations for all members of Congress. And so when you've done that, you want to start engaging with faith-related allies. And again, that's where your action teams are going to be wonderful resources to help you empower that work outside of faith-based organizations. You know, for one example, CCL's Catholic Action Team works closely with the Catholic Climate Covenant. I know Nadine's going to talk about the Unitarian Universalist Action Team, the work with not only the association, but also with the UU Ministry for the Earth. And so by aligning with faith values and really being able to do research ahead of time where there's an organization that would be complementary for your work with climate within that space, it's really going to be key to, you know, not have to reinvent the wheel, but to build out that network and coalition you're already bridging together with. And then you also want to activate your faith community. So there's been some great writing in our CCL blog about the different faith tradition outreaches in the past that you can educate yourself on your church's teachings and starting at the local parish level. But beyond that, we'll hear directly from the speakers tonight on how they've gone about doing that. And last but not least, certainly just continue to find ways to engage your local places of worship, whether that is the actual leadership with your pastor or the committees within that place of worship. Find who's already sympathetic to that climate work and work to build out support from within them, and even consider bringing faith leaders to your next lobby meeting, whether that might be in district or in DC. So with that, though, what we're going to do for the rest of tonight, I reached out to the different faith-based action teams that we've got, and we had four different teams that responded enthusiastically to the following three questions we posed to each of them. Why is faith-based outreach important for your practitioners that are concerned about climate change? What recommendations might you have for reaching out to your faith leaders on climate support? And is there a story or two that really inspires you as an example of what goes well when you make that time to do this outreach? So with that, let's jump first and foremost into an inspiration for a denomination that I know has certainly served as a template for many others. We will start with the background that the Presbyterian Action Team has done in their phenomenal work.
Okay, thanks for this opportunity, Brett. Thanks to my fellow speakers for your participation. But most importantly, thank you to our listeners for your work with CCL and your interest in this faith lever of political will. As Brett said, I'm Bill Bray, a ruling elder at the Woodlands Community Presbyterian Church here in the Woodlands, Texas. And when I retired 5 years ago, I wanted to get more active advocating for carbon taxes and found CCL and the carbon fee and dividend proposal. And so that was a perfect fit. And I also wanted to work more with my Presbyterian church, and they were grappling with the movement to divest from oil company stocks, and a group of folks down in the Third Coast, Gulf Coast area, were grappling with how to address that and climate change from our denomination's perspective. And what we came on was to propose faithful alternatives to divestment. And so carbon fee and dividend was a perfect opening for a faithful alternative. So in 2016, I went to the PCUSA, that's the Presbyterian Church USA General Assembly, and that's our national congress, as an overture advocate for an overture titled Support for Carbon Pricing. And that was approved in committee by a vote of 53-1, but in the plenary session, in the main body that had to vote on it, it never it got tied up with divestment and never got voted on. So proper procedure wasn't followed. It should have been voted on, and it was extremely frustrating. But we came back 2 years later at the next opportunity with two overtures and three overture advocates, and then it was approved in committee and the plenary session by over 80% of our commissioners. So tremendous support. So two takeaways from that are, first, you got to ask. You don't get anything that you don't ask for. And two is to stick with it. And this was our story on the Presbyterian side, but there are always asks that you can make at the national, regional, and local level to move our solution forward. This PCUSA carbon pricing overture supported carbon fee and dividend, our proposal very specifically. It highlighted that the dividend is a very important element from a faith and social justice perspective to protect the least of us from the impact of the fee. And the overture didn't just say carbon fee and dividend was a good thing. It said Presbyterians, congregations, and all PCUS organizations should, and I quote, work with citizens, voters, legislators, other decision makers, and other organizations that have parallel goals, like CCL, to enact this kind of legislation. So after our overture passed, we ramped up our Presbyterian Action Team within CCL to try to take advantage of this new lever. Our action team is up to 50 members, is working at spreading the word, and is growing. We give presentations to congregations or church groups across the country. So far, we've talked to churches, Sunday school, seminary, retirement communities, and Presbyterian meetings in Texas, Minnesota, California, Ohio, Michigan, Alaska, New Mexico, Virginia, and Pennsylvania so far. We're spreading the word within our denomination in every way we can think of. We're working with various groups like Presbyterians for Earth Care, Fossil Free PCUSA, which is the group advocating for divestment, and Faithful Alternatives, the group advocating for alternatives to divestment. We have senior staff members of the PCUSA organization who have joined CCL, and we're trying to connect our 9,000 plus Presbyterian congregations with our over 400 CCL chapters across the country. But that applies to all faiths. We have 900 congregations, but everybody has the 400 CCL chapters you can connect local churches with. We're also using every media avenue we can think of, blogs, articles, and various publications, information and links on websites, and links to presentations. And again, we're working at doing this at a national, regional, and local level. Everybody has their own websites and their own newsletters and communications. We're also starting a parallel group, Presbyterians for Carbon Dividends Now, to have an identity within PCUSA. We talked to our lobbyists in our CCL DC office, and they advise if we can get a separate Presbyterian group telling Congress to support HR 763, that's more effective than having additional CCLers and additional voices within CCL. We even have an idea for a Presbyterian Grand Canyon type project. Next April, we'll be participating in Ecumenical Advocacy Days. This is an annual interfaith lobbying effort in DC, much like our June and November conferences. The 2020 theme explores the intersection of climate change and economic injustice. We're proposing carbon pricing presentations and panels, proposing Dr. Hayhoe as the keynote speaker, and we'll be tabling. Another lever is with Presbyterian members of Congress. 31 members self-identify as Presbyterians in the Pew survey that Brett mentioned, and that includes 12 senators and 9 Republican senators. So a critical group is almost a third of our members of Congress. Each of us in faith groups can and should work with our denominations and their opportunities. But all CCLers can reach out to those congregations in their districts and chapters and cite the support of their national denominations and have the discussion and offer presentations and more information. Our bill has over 1,000 endorsers, with 91 faith endorsers and 8 Presbyterian churches or presbyteries. But every church, temple, synagogue, and mosque could also endorse it. This is another lever waiting to be pulled. We saw that former Congressman Bob Inglis was listed as a Presbyterian, so called to share what we were doing and see if there were any synergies. It turns out that he hasn't worshiped with Presbyterians for some time, but he is a devout and practicing Christian. We had a great talk about how to use this lever of political will and how to use it with Presbyterians who were not PCUSA, which was one of the questions we had for him as a former congressman. How would they view our overtures? He also talked about his recent work in Utah, where public opinion on the need for action on climate change is changing rapidly. He attributes the rapid and deep change due to the driver for their change coming from their faith and their heart, not just their head and logic and science or economics. Bob will join one of our 2 monthly Presbyterian Action Team calls in January and share more about his experiences in Utah. All CCLers, especially from faith teams, are invited to join us. This is the 2nd of January at 2 o'clock Central Time on Zoom, Third Coast Zoom. The number is on the screen there. 723-722-8489 if you're calling in. So please join us for this call, and thank you very much for your interest.
Bill, for the sake of all that you've been doing, thank you so much on behalf of that larger action team success, and we really appreciate your wisdom and presentation tonight. All right, so let's jump right along, and we will make sure to focus on the wonderful work that our Catholic friends are doing. So we had the chance to interview one of the co-leads, Steve Coleman, and as well as highlight the work that was recently actually featured in the Faith Leaders Action Team's webinar, where I'll put a link where you can find the full version of this. But here is a 4.5-minute clip from the wonderful Andy Pinelli about the work that they've been doing in building out campaigns across all of the dioceses in the Illinois area and can scale anywhere else that people are interested in trying this approach out.
Hello, I'm Andy Pinelli, and I lead a multi-parish creation care team in the Chicago Archdiocese. I'd like to tell you about a recent event that we had that was quite successful. It may be one that you want to emulate, or at least it might give you some ideas on your creation care team events. The objective for our event was to raise awareness on the Catholic Church position on climate change. We also wanted to raise awareness on recent church-supported legislation to mitigate the worst consequences of climate change. At the end of the day, what we wanted to do was we wanted to get parishioners to write and sign a letter to their congressman supporting that legislation. The outcome was very impressive. We got 500 parishioner letters signed to their members of Congress. And letters from constituents can be a very powerful tool in getting legislative action. Here's some background in how we did it. In January of 2019, the first bipartisan legislation in 10 years to address climate change was introduced in the House of Representatives. It's called the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, H.R. 763. Soon after the legislation was introduced, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops issued a strong statement of support for that legislation. This was a game changer. When the USCCB supported it, we met with a social justice / care for our common home contact at the Archdiocese and worked with them to draft a one-page letter that provided a high-level explanation of what the legislation was and also a call to action to parishioners to call or write their congressman. By the way, we used the Catholic Climate Covenant website link on that letter for how they could take action to write their congressman. The Archdiocese of Chicago took it upon themselves to email all parish offices in the Archdiocese during Earth Week. So we took advantage of that opportunity to put some bulletin ads together in our Sunday bulletin and talk about that. While this is not a critical step, either the letter from the Archdiocese or the Archdiocese emailing parish offices, it can grease the skids for getting your parish pastor's support on doing this type of display. We then assembled a display for the narthex. We wanted that display to explain the legislation and its benefits, to demonstrate that the legislation was church-supported, to show some video highlighting the human cost of climate change, and also tie it to a Respect for Life theme, since the legislation is expected to prevent tens of thousands of premature deaths in the U.S. by improving air quality. We also set up lots of tables so that the letters could be signed quickly by parishioners and so that they could exit quickly. We asked the parish pastor for 3 minutes at the lectern at the end of each Mass to deliver a rousing nonpartisan call to action. Ultimately, one-third of the parish flocked to the narthex to sign letters to Congress. The letters can then be hand-delivered to your local member of Congress for maximum impact. Here is where you can find pictures and video of the event and more details and tips on how to successfully and cost-effectively execute this type of a display. Feel free to reach out to me with questions about the event at this email address. 70 million U.S. Catholics can be a powerful force for change. Keep up the good work and good luck with your future efforts.
Bravo, Andy. Thank you so much for such a thorough and just really explanatory walkthrough of what was such a wonderful result in the outreach that the diocese around the Chicago area experienced recently. So all of those resources Andy highlighted, and there's additional notes, you know, in the slides about Andy's advice and taking time to learn your faith's position and really making sure to work on a relationship ahead of time with creation care activities in your church leader, you know, making sure especially to know that this is relationship building for the long haul. We don't want to come in, stir the pot, and then just disappear, but we're really committed to building these relationships and establishing a presence that obviously is built on trust and, you know, to be aware that this isn't something that's probably going to just happen overnight. One other excellent idea that I know is also connected to the Catholic outreach that's being done across the country is actually by one of the other co-leads of the team. Trudy Jenny is an active leader in the Madison area as well. And I know that they have an ongoing faith outreach committee. It's multi-denominational that meets actually once a month ahead of their local chapter meeting. And so they kind of use it as a support group for volunteers doing outreach with their congregations in CCL. And they're having, you know, 10, 12 people come to it monthly regularly that are responsible really for building out creation care committees throughout medicine. You know, even in this last year, I've heard Trudy said that they've gotten two different churches to install solar panels. You know, one more is in the process, in addition to even all the connections being made with CCL education. So another great example of how you could really frame this with your own local team and having an ongoing faith outreach committee meeting. We next up have our wonderful team, our fearless co-leaders of the Unitarian Universalist Outreach. So here they are.
I'm Nadine Cadell Sapperman, and I'm the co-leader of the UU Action Team in CCL. I'm also a group leader in Central New Jersey, New Jersey 07.
My name's Ann Perry. I am the co-leader of the UU Faith Action Group and a liaison in Central New Jersey.
I think for Unitarian Universalists, we believe really strongly in putting our faith into action. Unitarian Universalists are small but mighty, and we really care a lot about the environment. Our seventh principle is the interconnected dependence of all existence of which we are a part. And many UUs really relate to that principle, that we care a lot about nature and the environment and want to protect and preserve it. So between that foundation of our faith and also the belief and the directive that Unitarian Universalists across the country have kind of coalesced around climate change as a key issue that we want to address, it's really important for us to put our faith into action in this way. And some people do it through CCL, some people do it through other means, but we have an awful lot of Unitarian Universalists and Citizens Climate Lobby that find this to be a very good path for them to you know, execute looking for climate action. One of the key things that we can focus on as Unitarian Universalists is that last March, our denomination, the Unitarian Universalist Association, endorsed the bill with a statement of support. And that statement of support is really important for us because it puts the context of the endorsement. It puts the endorsement into context. It talks about our president of the Unitarian Universalist Association saying that people can address climate change by a variety of measures, and supporting the Energy Innovation Act is one of those key things, as long as we take into consideration that we want to make sure that we're considering frontline communities and how the policy and all climate action policies that we would support would affect people who are less fortunate than ourselves.
Getting that endorsement at the very, very top of the denomination has been helpful, and we modeled that after what we saw the Presbyterians doing, because we saw the Presbyterians get that at their General Assembly, get that top endorsement.
And other recommendations I would have are to really connect Citizens Climate Lobby with the principles of Unitarian Universalism. As Unitarian Universalists, we also believe really strongly in the democratic process, and that's in our congregations and in the world at large. And what more could you do than to, you know, be an active citizen, talking to your members of Congress, writing your members of Congress, calling your members of Congress, engage in that democracy that we so highly value. So there are several Unitarian Universalist principles that align so really beautifully with the work that we do in Citizens Climate Lobby. And if I were to give recommendations to people who are UUs that want to talk to people in their communities, either with their ministers or their boards or their congregations, is to really make those connections between Unitarian Universalist principles and the CCL values and the work that we do in Citizens Climate Lobby.
My recommendations to anybody who is working with their faith group would be to attack it from a grass top and a grassroots, you know, use the CCL strategies. And we found that that works for our faith. As Nadine said, we worked on the top person in the UUA. We worked on getting an endorsement from the UUA. We've also worked from a grassroots standpoint where we are working with individual UUs and individual coffee hours and individual letter writing campaigns across the nation. And CCL is so good at collecting data and using that, turning that data back around to reinforce why this matters, how many letters to Congress, how many letters to the editor, et cetera, et cetera. So we used that principle and set up a Google spreadsheet where we started recording every place, every congregation that either the minister endorsed or the CCL's local chapter was meeting, because globally there's about 150,000 UUs. And so we were able to say, and 10% of them we have documented as being involved or touched by CCL's work. So my story is about relearning the power of data, that metrics matter and that they give your voice power. And so what connects that grass top and grassroots is continued support and encouragement to those that are doing the on the ground in each individual congregation. And we do that through a bi-monthly meeting where we bring together all of the people who choose to join us to talk about strategies of what's working well and what would you need some support in. And we also have a community on CCL community where people can express their frustrations and concerns and get support from other UUs who are battling either the grass tops or the grassroots at their individual congregations.
So our Unitarian Universalist Action Team meets on the third Monday of odd numbered months. So the next one will be on Monday, January 20th. And folks are welcome to find us on Community. It's a Unitarian Universalist Action Team. If you are a Unitarian Universalist or you know one, please let them folks know about it. We have a vibrant and fun group, and we would love to see more people in our Action Team and on the call on January 20th. You know, we have worked with Unitarian Universalists for Social Justice, and we did a nationwide letter writing campaign. So we had our UUs and our congregations write letters to Member of Congress. We sent the letters to Washington, D.C., and then they were hand-delivered by this other organization, Unitarian Universalists for Social Justice, to members of Congress. So we were working collaboratively with this other Unitarian Universalist entity, and our letters said, please support the Energy Innovation Act. Other people's letters might have said something different, but we got our messages delivered with other Unitarian Universalists. So it really was a faith-based action. Similarly, in terms of actions, one of the things that we realized that we wanted to see was some coverage in our national publication, the UU World, that they had done some climate change pieces, but they hadn't yet talked about Citizens Climate Lobby. So we, at the as an action after our last meeting, we had people write letters to the editor of this magazine, and at least 10 people did, at least the people that copied me on it. And that hasn't resulted in the piece being published yet, but we are looking to have a meeting with the editor, and he seemed really interested in all the work that we're doing across the country as Unitarian Universalists. So, you know, we take the structure that we have and we give people action items that allow them to put their faith into action in support of CCL.
And for me, what is important here is the bipartisan nature of CCL. I am better at practicing my religious faith because I am a CCL member. The first principle of our faith is inherent worth and dignity. That is in so much concert with CCL's belief that we should be bipartisan, we should begin every conversation with appreciation. And so I practice my faith through being a CCL member. And in these times of impeachment and divisiveness and a very difficult climate to live in, where you're fighting with your relatives, you're fighting with your neighbors, coming together in CCL, coming together as a UU, expressing my faith through being an active CCL member is just so important to me. And I have found it resonates with a lot of UUs.
Well put, Ann and Nadine. Thank you so much for that. All right, well, let's go to our wonderful speakers in San Diego next. Judy and Dabla, I know, are on the line as well. And to close us out tonight, let's zoom into their recommendations on what they've learned with the Jewish Faith Action Team as well.
I'm Judy Burlfein, and I'm here with my husband, Dadla Ponazil. And I am the group leader for the San Diego North CCL group. And I'm also the co-leader of the Jewish Action Team with Yonatan Malin, who lives in Boulder, Colorado. Catherine Hayhoe spoke on a CCL call in 2011 and got us all thinking about faith action. And that's when I first started thinking about this, and I went and met with someone from my synagogue.
I'm Dadla Ponazil. And if you recall, when the Pope came out with his encyclical, I was feeling really envious that the Pope wasn't Jewish and we didn't have a Pope. And so there was this young rabbi at the conference, and we were talking to her, and I said, you know what we need a Jewish encyclical. That's when I decided we need a Jewish action team in CCL. And so I started that. And then I put together what I called the Sacolical, which is the Jewish faith. And the more I learned about it, the more I realized Judaism, the tradition, has a lot of tools for tackling this difficult problem. At the core of it is that action in the face of direct proof that action needs to be taken is really easy. Like, you see a flood, you get a boat and you save people, or fire, you know, you put out the fire. But when the threat is off in the future and it's not concrete, there's two ways humans can deal with that. One is through wisdom and insight, and the other is through faith. You have to have a leap of faith to act when action isn't obvious. And so that's why I think it's really important to bring in religious leaders in this effort.
Leading a faith-based team is really just like a microcosm for working on climate in this whole country, because you encounter all of the same things you encounter everywhere else. Democrats and Republicans, responsive people and unresponsive people, people who care about climate change, people who don't know about climate change. So some of the lessons that we've been thinking about is multiple touches are really important. Like, the first time I met with a friend from our synagogue, she had a few ideas, and then the second time she had a few more ideas, and then finally the third time she introduced me to someone who was helpful and helped us work a little bit with the youth group. It is it's also important to remember that if the first time you talk to someone, they don't respond, that doesn't mean they're never going to respond. It just means you have to go back to them in a different way. Yeah. The practical things that I'm thinking about that we've learned, one thing I think about is what Marshall says, that I used to think there were the important people who were going to do the important things, and then I realized that I am that important person. We've definitely been frustrated with Jewish leadership that climate change isn't high on the list of priorities, and we've beat our head against the wall with people who we thought would be taking a leadership role who aren't. And I think in the last year or so, we finally realized that we are those people and we have to take the leadership role. We've started to see more action around climate in the Jewish community. There's a group called the Jewish Earth Alliance. There's another group, the Jewish Climate Action Network. So it is exciting to see things finally happening.
I think it's really important that we recognize there are many solutions to this problem. And so I'm finding it, watching Judy do this mostly, getting these letters, we can go to our friends and we can say, can you write a letter about what's happening right now? And they'll do it. I like the union of sets, not the exclusion of sets. So if I'm just playing one card that says CCL on it, and now I have all these other cards I can talk to people about and get them to do something as simple as write a letter, which is going to be physically delivered, like us going to Washington, D.C., it's really powerful. So I love that we're branching out and building these multi-pronged approaches to solving this.
About 3 years ago, I worked with two people from our team who were not affiliated with synagogues, but identified culturally as Jewish. And, you know, the Jews have a long history of being involved in social movements, in the civil rights movements. There were a lot of Jewish leaders involved, and we have this vision in our head that the same would happen with climate change, and we're all really frustrated. And we spent 6 months to a year trying to get leaders, not from synagogues, but from nonprofits and different Jewish organizations to step up. And that was really hard. And so if I were to give any advice, since then I've been working more on a synagogue level and trying to connect with people at synagogues. And I think that framework lends itself more to action than asking people from, say, like a nonprofit that works on, in general, on social justice issues. They're already super focused on what they're doing, and they don't want me coming in saying, you should start working on climate change. But at synagogues, you have people, in some synagogues more than others, but you have people who are interested in volunteering and doing some kind of social action. So it seems like that's a better route to take, to go to this already organized setup. You know who the rabbi is, you know who's the head of the religious school, you know some of them have green teams, some of them have social action teams. So it's not easy, but it's easier than going just to the Jewish Federation or Jewish Family Service or something like that. So the Jewish Action Team, Dadla started it. It's so nice to have someone who has a different set of ideas to complement the ideas I have. And now we're taking a little bit different approach. We have a small steering committee, and we're trying to come up with some concrete actions for our members and contact all of them and see how we can support them in doing those concrete actions. So if you're Jewish and you're new to CCL and you want to get involved in the Jewish Action Team, go to the Action Team site and pick Jewish Action Team, and at the top it says join. And when you join Jewish Action Team, you'll see my welcome message, and at the bottom of the message it has my email. Go ahead and email me directly, because what I'd like to do is then introduce myself and set up a call with you so we can talk directly, so I can find out more about where you live, if you belong to a synagogue, and get your fellow congregants involved.
Well put, Judy and Dodla. Thank you so much for that and all of the wisdom that both of you and Yonatan also are bringing to the Jewish Action Team with your leadership. Also a reminder, so if you are listening in later and you are curious how to find these action teams, these wonderful leaders that we've been learning from tonight, and how you can get more active, all you have to do is go to community, and then on the very top, there's that main menu item that says connect with others. You click on that, and a drop-down menu shows up. From there, you just click on this little action teams item, and then you will be landed into the action team directory. And one whole component of that directory is faith-based outreach. And so you can see we have action teams for the following groups: Baha'i, Buddhism, Catholicism, Earth-based spirituality, Episcopalianism, Evangelical Christianity, faith leaders overall, Jewish, LDS Mormon, Presbyterian, Quakers, United Methodists, and Unitarian Universalism. But with that tonight, here is a highlight of where you can also find that URL and questions for further discussion on our forums. We always love to, you know, continue this dialogue outside of the actual training. You're also welcome to find this training again. I put that link in the chat one last time right now, but you can find it after tonight. Just to thank all of you for making it tonight. We hope that you found this training useful, and we look forward to hearing all of the brave outreach that you'll be doing in response. Thank you for being here, everyone, tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, all.
Everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.